Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
If you're a Christian, being assured of Christ's return and your eternity in heaven has changed the course of your life. But has it also changed the way that you think? Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah wraps up the series Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven by explaining how your amazing tomorrows ought to impact your mindset today. Here's David to conclude his message, Tough-Minded About Heaven.
Well, friends, we come now to the last broadcast on the subject of heaven. I'm sure we'll visit this again in the years ahead, in the days ahead. But for right now, we wrap up this series, which has consumed the month of July, and we're going to finish with the last part of being tough-minded about heaven from 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to thank you all for listening during these days. I hope that your appetite for heaven has been whetted and that you're looking forward to being there. Obviously, we have a lot of work to do before we go to heaven, but it's wonderful to know that God has a special place and a special plan for those of us who know Him and trust Him. So if you have been blessed by the series on heaven, let us know. This is Letter Month. This is a good opportunity for you just to sit down and write a note to us and let us know what this series has meant. It will be encouraging to us as we continue to work and prepare and teach every day here on Turning Point. Tomorrow, we're going to finish out the month with a prayer for wisdom from 1 Kings chapter 3. But right now, it's time for us to finish up our discussion on what it means to be tough-minded about heaven. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's conclude our discussion on revealing the mysteries of heaven. You see, the Bible teaches about the future. If you take all of the information out of the Bible that has to do with everything that's going to happen after you and I aren't here, or after the rapture, you would take about one-fourth of the Bible and destroy it. One-fourth or better of the Bible is all about what's going to happen in the future. Now, if God thought it was important enough to put it in this book and preserve this book for all these years accurately, I'd best be finding out what that's all about. Not just out of curiosity, but out of a desire to find out how that's going to affect my life. And Peter says we need to be tough-minded about the promises of God. He has promised that he is coming back, that Christ is coming back to this earth. We believe he's coming first in the rapture and then later coming with his saints to set up his kingdom on this earth. The Bible says Jesus is coming back. Do you believe that? Well, yeah, I suppose. No, it can't be like that. You have to believe it with all your heart and with all your mind. You've got to develop a tough-mindedness about it. You see, Peter already knew what our generation was going to be like. Look down in your Bibles at chapter 3 of 2 Peter in verses 3 and 4. Listen to what it says. Knowing that first that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's just exactly what the attitude is today. You know, hey, Pastor, what do you mean the Lord's coming back? Look, he's been gone for 2,000 plus years. He's not coming back. If he's coming back, he'd be back. Yeah. And they forget that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That he doesn't keep time the way we do. You know, since he made that promise, a few minutes has gone by. But one day he's coming back. And we have to remember that what God has said is true. Let me tell you something. There are countless numbers of prophecies in the Old Testament about his first coming, and every single one of them were fulfilled in exact proportion to the prophecy. The same God who fulfilled his prophecies of his coming at Bethlehem has made some statements about his coming in the future, and they will be fulfilled as exactly as the ones were in the first coming. So Peter says, be tough-minded about his return. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find until after my death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of life to press on to that other country and help as many as I can do the very same. We need to be tough-minded about the promises of God. He tells us that we're to be looking for and hastening his coming. Philippians 3:20 says we're to eagerly wait for the Savior. Titus 2:13 says we're to look for his coming. Hebrews 9:28 says we're to eagerly wait for his coming. And when Peter writes in verse 12 that we are hastening the coming of the Lord, he is reminding us that we're to earnestly desire the coming of the Lord. Paul put it this way toward the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4:8, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to also to all who have what? Loved his appearing." Do you love his appearing? I heard a story about a famed preacher preaching in a conference in Winona Lake, Indiana. He was preaching on the Lord's coming, and he was trying to teach these people some interesting words. And so he told them that the word Maranatha was a word they should remember because it means the Lord comes. So when you see your brothers and your sisters after you come out of this conference, you can just greet them, Maranatha. One old boy came out of that conference, went up to his first Christian buddy he saw, and he went, "Marijuana." No, it's not marijuana, it's Maranatha. The Lord comes. It ought to be in our hearts that the Lord comes. We ought to think about it regularly. You know, I think we do that maybe as we get a little bit older. We keep thinking maybe the rapture is going to come and beat us out of death, you know? But we're to think about that because that's the word of God. Number three, not only should we be tough-minded about purity and tough-minded about his promises, but we need to be tough-minded about our purpose. Notice verse 14 of 2 Peter chapter 3. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things," what things? The things we've been talking about, heaven and the dissolution of the earth and all the promises God has. "Looking forward to these things," watch this, "be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." Now, the words "be diligent" here in 2 Peter are found three times in this epistle. The first time is in 2 Peter 1:5-7, where we're told to be diligent, to add to our faith virtue and to our virtue knowledge. That's a good passage. We should go and review that again sometime. The second time is in 2 Peter 1:10. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." Yeah. Peter is saying we have to be diligent to make our election and our calling sure. We have to be diligent to make sure that our lives are matching the purpose for which we were created. Do you realize how easy it is to just let days and weeks and months go by? And all of a sudden you wake up and the thing to which you have been called has been put on the back burner and it's not even in play in your life. And one day when you stand before the Lord as a Christian, you're going to give an account for the things done in the body. And God is going to tell you, "I gave you a gift. What did you do with it?" And you know, there's a lot of parables in the teaching of Jesus that tell us that's a real situation. It's going to happen. And so Peter is saying, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back, be diligent about your purpose. Make sure you get up every day and think Christianly. Gird up the loins of your mind around the thing God has called you to do and say, "This is what I'm all about. And a lot of other things are going to come and try to take me away from what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm going to be tough-minded." You know, I have to practice this. It's the hardest thing I do. You talk to the people that work around me, they would tell you, you know, we get all these things people want us to do. You know, people are always calling you and saying, "You know, God told me you're supposed to be here." Well, he hadn't told me. That's the problem. If I went every place God told somebody else I was supposed to be, I'd never be here. And so I get these opportunities and I have to ask myself, does this fit into the grid of what God has called me to do? And I find myself saying no 90% of the time. And the few things that I do pass through this grid of, is this really the center purpose of what God has called me to do? And I'm not any different than any of the rest of you. God has called you to do some things. You know what? In order to say yes to some things, you got to say no to some others. That's what it means to be tough-minded. It means to say, I'm going to be, by the grace of God, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And if I do that, I can't do these other things. You can't always put God at the bottom of the list and then say, I'm making God my priority. You need to be diligent about your calling. Paul understood that heaven was his goal, and his life reflected this. He eloquently wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 3:13-14 these words. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do," listen to this, "forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What was he saying? I've had to say no to some stuff. I had to forget about the past, and I got to press toward and focus in and get tough-minded about what God has called me to do. Are you tough-minded about God's purpose in your life? That's one of the things Peter says should come when we realize that one day we're going to report for the final time. We're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of how we've lived our lives. In light of that, gird up the loins of your mind, roll up the sleeves of your mind, and be tough-minded about your purpose. Now here's the fourth one. Tough-minded about your profession. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, know what? Know that God's got the future all lined out for you. Beware, now watch this, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Now please note, he didn't say beware that you fall from your salvation. You can't do that. He says, beware that you fall from being steadfast. What does that mean? Solid. You know what you believe. You know why you believe it. And nothing can sway you from it. You're not just a surface Christian, but the roots go down deep into your heart. And when someone knocks at your door, maybe it's two guys who are traveling in the neighborhood, and they want to engage you in some sort of conversation, you already know who Jesus is, who he was, and who he always will be. And so you're not moved from the steadfastness of your faith. Peter says, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back and that one day you're going to go be with him, you better beware lest you be drawn away from your steadfastness and drawn into error. And you know why he said that? Because elsewhere in the text it says that when the Lord is about to come back, there's going to be an increased amount of demons and an increased amount of diverse opinions and increased amount of cults and isms and wasms and all of the other things. And I'm seeing that happen right now. Are you? Every time you turn around, somebody's come up with a new religion, come up with some new crazy idea about how you know God. And Peter says, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back, he says, I want you to be steadfast. I want you to be tough-minded about what you believe. Finally, last of all, number five, he says, I want you to be tough-minded about your progress. We have to be tough-minded about our progress. Did you know that when you read 2 Peter chapter 3, you're reading Peter's swan song? Did you know that? It's the last thing we have of him having said or written. Do you know what the last thing Peter said was before he shut it all down? Here's what he said. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Do you know how to keep from getting carried away with some weird person who comes knocking at your door? Just keep growing in your own faith. That's the best way to stay steadfast. You know, the Christian life, friends, is not like something where you get to a certain place and where you say, well, I finally figured this out. I've made it. I discovered a whole bunch of new truth I didn't know before, and I study the Bible a lot. And every time I open this book, I am so overwhelmed at what God is willing to teach me if I'm willing to be a learner. And there's so much I'll never learn if I live to be 100. I'll never, ever be able to master all of the Bible. But every day I get into this book, I learn and I grow. Are you the same person this year that you were last year? Can you identify any change and growth in your life? Peter says the thing you need to do in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back, and this is his last admonition, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you a growing Christian? Or have you just stagnated? You know, there's a story about a little boy who fell out of bed one night, and his mother went up to check on him. And she said, honey, why did you fall out of bed? He said, well, Mama, I guess I fell asleep too close to where I got in. You know, I know a lot of Christians like that, don't you? They fall asleep as soon as they get in the faith. They get in and that's it. They never grow. Problem, men and women, is this. If you're not growing, you are an absolute perfect target for the enemy. He can come and draw you away. And you can get caught up in something that can ruin your life. So Peter is really on target here when he's saying, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. I want him to find me growing. I want him to come back and I'm just discovering something new about him. And I'm just growing in him all the way to glory. I don't want him to come back and find out that the last time I read my Bible was 6 months ago, or it's on the back shelf of my car and I can't find it. I want him to come back finding me a growing Christian. And Peter says, I want you to be tough-minded about that. How do you be tough-minded about growing? You know, in the physical realm, you don't have to do that. You just grow. But you got to be tough-minded about some things even there. You got to eat right. You got to exercise. You got to get clean air. You got to make sure you stay away from contaminants or things that can poison your system. Not a whole lot different in the spiritual realm, is it? If you want to grow, there's certain things that are true. In fact, I thought it was interesting that there are a number of things in the Bible that talk about what we need to do to grow, and they're related to the coming of Christ. One of my favorite verses, for instance, is Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until when? The day of Jesus Christ. I've written down in my notes, growth comes through the will of God. I don't know what God's will is for your job or what his will is for the person you're thinking about marrying. I don't know about his will for where you're supposed to live. I can tell you one thing for sure. God wants you to grow. It's the will of God for you to be a growing Christian. He didn't bring you into his family so you could be dwarfed. He brought you into his family so you could grow into a strong, vibrant, virile Christian. Secondly, growth comes through the watchfulness of prayer. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. There's the future again. Therefore, what? Be watchful and serious in your prayers. Is there anything, friends, that takes more tough-mindedness than developing your prayer life? Prayer's hard work. If you only pray when you feel like praying, you probably never pray. Because prayer isn't the kind of thing where you get up and say, oh, I just can't wait to get on my knees and pray. You do it out of obedience. And what happens when you do it out of obedience? God fills your heart with love and desire and hope and excitement. But you've got to be tough-minded about it. You've got to say, I'm going to do this. And in order to do this, I'm not going to do that. Because if I do that, it's going to wipe this out. And this is the priority. That's how you grow. Tough-minded about prayer. Thirdly, you grow through the word of God. In Revelation 22:7, it says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy. That was written about the book of Revelation, but it applies to the whole book. You grow through the word of God, and finally, you grow through the work of the church. Hebrews 10:25 says, here again is the future. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Now watch this. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are you getting the picture in this message? If you don't get anything else out of this, I hope you get this. That what you believe about the future determines how you live today. And over again in the Bible, that is the truth that we hear. If you believe Jesus is coming back, you will develop a tough-mindedness about how you live your life today. And the more you move yourself away from what God has planned for you in the future, the more apt you are to become a person who just sort of drifts through life. You see, when you know where you're going, it makes all the difference in the world, how you live. And if you keep reminding yourself that one day you're going to spend eternity with a holy God, and that the only way you're going to get rewards up there is by bringing people with you and by encouraging people and by your own giving and all of that, makes all the difference in the world. So you see, the coming of Christ and the doctrine of heaven provide some of the strongest motivation for living the Christian life you will ever find. C.S. Lewis once again said it this way. He said, if you have read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next world. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. And then he said this, and I wrote this down. This is great. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get nothing. Isn't that true? Aim at heaven and you get the earth thrown in, but you aim at the earth and you don't get anything. Because one of these days, as we learn at the beginning of this chapter, this is all going to be dissolved. And only what's eternal is going to last. Every year, for many years, Don and I have gone to the NRB, which, by the way, is one of those acronyms for the National Religious Broadcasters Association. It's always kind of a highlight. We love going there because we meet our friends. And every once in a while, they have a special guest speaker. Three or four times, they've had the President of the United States. I saw President Bush's father, saw President Reagan, and I sat on the front row when George W. came, shook his hand, even got my picture taken. But you know, I got to tell you something. I love it when they come, but it's almost really not worth it. Because when the president comes, I mean, when he comes to the conference, it messes everything up. From the night before until he leaves, it messes everything up. To go see the president, who's going to speak at 10:45, you got to get in line at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it doesn't make any difference if you're the preacher or the pastor or on the board, you got to get in line. Now, you know what? I saw people standing in line. You'd think they would be frustrated and bored. They were having the highest time of their life. They were greeting their old friends, and they stood in line for 3 hours just talking to one another. Then when you finally get to the front, you got to go through a metal detector. You got to go through a metal detector to go to the restroom now. I mean, I'm telling you, everywhere you go, there's metal detectors. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
So you go through a metal detector. Now, before you go through the metal detector, you got to have credentials showing that you've registered for the NRB. Oh my goodness, you should have seen the people that stood in line from 8 all the way through to 11, and they got up to the gate and they didn't have any credentials. And they had to go back to the room and get their credentials and get in the back of the line. You say, who would put up with that? Nobody put up with that if you weren't going to go see the president. I'll tell you one thing, friends. One day I'm going to see the King of Kings. I want to sing the Lord of Lords. I'm not in any queue line. I'm just getting ready. I want to tell you something that I've done to get ready. First of all, I've got my credentials. I've got them. Have you got your credentials? Amen. I got my credentials. And I'm not going to get turned away when I get to the front of the line. He's going to see my credentials. You know what they are? I was born again. I was saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus, and Christ is my Savior. I can't get to heaven on my own. It's going to say on my credentials, David Jeremiah, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what it's going to say. And I hope that you understand that because the one that we're going to go spend eternity with is far greater than any human president or human leader or king or queen or potentate, we need to start getting ready. We need to start living our lives like we really believe that one day we're going to spend eternity with Almighty God. We need to become tough-minded about heaven.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for being a part of this series. You know, I always feel a sense of sadness when we end a teaching series. I know something good is coming, but we've invested ourselves in this subject now for several weeks. The most important thing about this series is whether or not you are going to go to heaven. That's the most important thing. Do you know that for sure? Did you know that it's possible for you to know here and now that you're going to spend eternity in heaven? It's not about how many good works or bad works you do. It's about whether you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. When you stand before God someday and He says, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" There's only one answer. It's because I have put my trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. If you haven't done that, you can do it today. Wherever you are, invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And don't forget to join us tomorrow as we talk about a prayer for wisdom right here on this good station. I'm David Jeremiah. Thanks for listening.
Our message today originated from Shadow Mountain Community Church and Senior Pastor Dr. David Jeremiah. Please write and tell us how God is using Turning Point in your life. Write to us at Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. Or visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Now, when you do, ask for your copy of David's book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, to be better informed about your amazing eternal home. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard and New International versions, and in standard or large print in the New King James, loaded with helpful notes and articles by Dr. Jeremiah. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow for a special timely message, A Prayer for Wisdom. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks. for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.